Welcome to this evening service. My name's Lee Pallister from Sovereign Grace Reformed Church. Tonight I'd like to give my testimony. Now, you may ask, well, why do I want to give my testimony? Well, do I want to brag about things? Do I want to talk of the great family tree that I came from and this, that and the other thing? No, I don't. I want to tell my testimony really because I want to talk about the power of Christ in salvation, in saving a lost wretched sinner like me. And so I want to share my testimony with you tonight, how the Lord came into my life, how he saved me by his grace. I'm going to give you the long version, sorry about that, but I'm going to give you the long version, beginning before I was saved, of course, my childhood right up until now, really. Really, two, three things I want to bring home. First of all, I want to bring home, through my testimony, the power of Christ in salvation. Secondly, I want to bring home the sustaining power of Christ in one's life. When you're saved, the Lord not only gives you grace to be saved in salvation, but he also gives you sustaining grace to keep you when you are saved. And so I just want to bring home those two messages, the power Christ gives in saving you and the power in sustaining you. And so to begin with my early years, my parents, my mum and dad were brought up in a very strict church, or if you can call it a church, it was more of a cult, really. It was called the Plymouth Brethren. It's an organisation which is spread around the world. They're also known as the Exclusive Brethren, or the PEBS is another name for them. The Exclusive Brethren really are almost completely cut off from parts of the world. They completely separate themselves. I suppose a little bit like the Amish in America, quite similar to that, where you are forbidden to do certain things. And so, of course, some of the things which they do are good and are to be applauded. But as a whole, they have sadly gone further than what Scripture provides. My family were brought up, my mum and dad were brought up in the Plymouth Brethren, in the Exclusive Brethren, up until my dad was about 27, my mum was 26. I was 2 until I was 2 years old when my mum and my dad decided to leave the Plymouth Brethren, the Exclusive Brethren. Now, that came with consequences. They did not agree with they didn't agree with it, and they left the Plymouth Brethren. Now, consequently, they were cut off from ever seeing their mother and father again. And so my mother could never see her mother or father again. My dad could never see his father or mother again. I've never ever met my grandparents. I've never met some of my uncles and aunties that are in the Plymouth Brethren. The system that they have in place, the traditions, as it were, that they have in place, they cut off anyone that's... if you go against the rules, as it were, of the Brethren, the Plymouth Brethren, they cut you off and they misquote Scripture in terms of separation. And so my dad and my mother really just felt that they wanted to get as far away from that as possible. And so we emigrated to South Africa when I was 2 years old. I was brought up in South Africa. My dad moved around a lot. At this point, I should tell you that my my father was not a true believer in Christ. In fact, he was very wayward from Christ. My mother, on the other hand, although she was a believer in Christ, she was fairly liberal at that stage. So we grew up in South Africa, moving around from time to time. It was quite an ideal childhood, living in the middle of nowhere. I had very fond memories of Africa. We lived near a Zulu village for some time. In the middle of nowhere, really, with nothing, not much. And so for part of my early childhood, it was quite an idyllic childhood in the middle of nowhere. It was a simple life. But then, of course, getting into my teens, things got difficult because inevitably my father was not truly the Lord's. And he did leave my mother when I was 14 years old. And of course, when that happened, there were things were happening before that weren't good, of course. But when that happened, then everything else started to go downhill in my life, spiritually speaking. My mum was still faithful. She still took us to a church, although it wasn't a true Bible-believing church. They had some elements of the gospel, very watered down a message, but there were some elements of Christianity in my life. I must have heard the gospel several times. There was a period actually where I felt the Lord touch me when I was young, and I professed to be a Christian, and I even spoke to others, even adults, about the Lord when I was young. And then, of course, when the divorce happened, my confidence, of course, waned somewhat, and I went off the rails a little bit, along with much of my other siblings. I'm the youngest within my family. I've got two older brothers, and the oldest is my eldest, which is my sister. Now, praise the Lord that my brother Jason, he was saved at an open-air preaching event in South Africa. And amazingly, the transformation that happened in his life was quite dramatic. And I witnessed it firsthand. He was, like me, he was into bad music. This was when he was 18 years old. He was into terrible music. We watched things and did things which were not godly, not biblical. The Lord saved him amazingly, and I remember very vividly in his life. Soon as the Lord saved him, he burnt up his bad CDs that he had, along with many other things. There was a distinct change in his lifestyle, and that had a lasting impression upon me. And he wasn't perfect, of course. There were still things, when he will admit, there were still things in his life. There was a sanctifying grace working in his life. When I was 20 years old, I was one of the first to move over to the UK. Now, really, that's when things really started to go downhill for me, spiritually speaking, because when I was 20, I got my first mobile phone, a little Nokia phone. And, of course, coming from South Africa to the UK culture, South Africa has many problems, the UK culture in terms of other things are pretty bad. There were lots of temptations. I was a young man, and the world seemed seemed very alluring, as it were. And really, I gave myself to the things of this world. I wanted to earn money. I wanted a career. I wanted girls. I wanted many other things in my life. And I gave myself to the things of this world. And pursued these things for many years, until in my mid to late, well, say late, mid to late 20s, I had, from an earthly perspective, achieved much of my pursuits. That I had a big social status, was relatively well known within my social status. I went out drinking a lot, I partied a lot, I did lots of many ungodly things which I'm deeply ashamed of, and even have had consequences to this very day. And I can never take those things away, of course, in my life. Now, I built up all these things. I aspired to all the things. All the things that which the culture around me aspires to. You know, big social status, friends, laughter, popularity, fun and money, and all these things, and pleasures and lusts. And I gave them for many years. And there was I worked in a call center type place. I was fairly high up. In fact, I was actually top of the sales team of about 50, 60 people. Really, I was quite well looked up to, and I made. That really made me a bit puffed up and proud within. And for many years, I really thought that I had hit jackpot, really. I really thought I'd made something of my life. The reality is that deep down within, there was something missing in my life. I remember there was a Christian. In fact, there were several Christians actually within the call center. There were one, I believe, who was a true Christian, and there were two which were quite worldly Christians. Now, one who was a true Christian, although I wouldn't agree with him doctrinally on things, but he was the Lord's, and he did invite me. He was an Irishman. He invited me. I was invited to a birthday party in Italy. I had befriended an elderly man. He was 60 years old. It was a 60th birthday party. Someone who worked with me in the call center. He was going over to Italy, to one of his favorite parts of Italy, which is the Parma region, a place called Fidenza. A very beautiful place, stunningly beautiful. I was invited to go to this place. Now, the Christian, I was to go and travel with this Christian, this Irishman, and he picked me up. And on the way to the airport, he asked me a question, and he said to me, whether I had a relationship with God, whether I had a relationship with God. And deep down, I knew really that I didn't have a relationship with God. And that made me think, of course, of my earlier childhood when I had professed to know the Lord and when I had these things happening in my life. But deep down, really, I knew that I was almost a bit like that prodigal son. I went off the rails and I sought this world's good. And for days on end, whilst in Italy, with this person's birthday party, I beheld the beauty in Italy, in this region, Fidenza region. And I remember just looking out of the little balcony villa, as it were, and looking out at the distance of this beautiful region, and I was looking at the beauty and thinking, really, why am I so sad? Why am I so empty? I've got everything in my life that I've wanted. I've got the things which I've wanted for a long time. I've really strove for them. And I've got everything which most people in the world would die for. I've got them, and I experience them right now. Why am I so empty within? Why is there a great sadness, a great void within me? And that feeling was there for many days on end. was for there for 2-3 days on end, and this Irishman, whilst in Italy, he would get out his Bible, and he was very zealous for the Lord. He would speak of the Lord, and he would talk to me about my life and what I had been through. He would have his heart on his shoulder, really. He was a very outgoing Christian, and I told him about my upbringing and other things, and you could just see really in his eyes the love of Christ. He loved the Lord, he lived the Lord, and for days on end there was just a deep unhappiness and a void in my life, until on that blessed day of the Lord coming into my life. I'm sorry, I'm speaking about myself now, but I do promise this is all about the Lord. It's not about myself. This is really about the power of the Lord. But I'm telling you this to give you some context. But on that blessed day of my salvation, which I believe was the 10th of July, I was on a train going from Milan to Fidenza. And before we got on that train, we started off in Fidenza. We went into this big church or cathedral type, and I saw these two old, very ancient, forgive me, old ladies in this church sweeping and cleaning this old church. Now, of course, it was more than likely it was a Roman Catholic church. And then we were just looking inside this old kind of church cathedral. I can't remember the ins and outs of it. And Kevin, the phone went off in the church. And Kevin said to me, "Maybe that's God calling you." And I kind of, when I saw this these old ladies and I heard the phone call, I thought... they're spending so much time cleaning up this cathedral, and something kind of clicked there with me. And then, as the day went on, went to Milan, and quite amazingly, when we're leaving Milan, going back to Fidenza on the train, me and Kevin got into a very deep spiritual conversation, more him than I. And he started to talk to me in great detail about some of his experiences and some of the things that the Lord had taken him through. And then in doing so, it really brought home many of the things that had happened in my family, which really I've just been kicking against the pricks of conscience. Like I said, my brother was saved in South Africa when he was 18. He had a great transformation in his life. His separation from the world, his zealousness for the Lord was evident. And I tell you something, dear friends, there is real power. I don't believe that you've got to be a friend to the world. There was real power in someone's testimony. My brother Jason was a huge influence in the power of my salvation, in me coming to the Lord. His godly example, the things that he wouldn't get involved with, his actually separation from the world was a huge imprint, and the Lord mightily did use him in that respect. It was pivotal in my salvation, and I remembered really that on the train going to Fidenza. Now, I forgot to mention my sister Teresa. A few years before that, she amazingly was converted as well. Now, my sister went on in sin like I did for many years. In fact, she went through some terrible difficulties in the world, in so much that she ended up being divorced. She ended up with a son called Julian by herself in a homeless shelter in Barnstable. And she went through so many difficulties. And then in her agony, she cried unto the Lord in that homeless shelter. And the Lord amazingly saved her. And again, a great transformation took place in her life. A joy, a real inner joy, which I never saw in my sister before, happened in her life. And so, whilst on the train from Milan to Fidenza, speaking to Kevin about his experiences, all these things came flooding back in my life, how the Lord had changed them. I knew the gospel. I've heard the gospel before. I read my Bible before when I was young. I've had experiences before. And really, it was when I remembered the work, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in saving my brother Jason, my elder brother, the one up from me, and my sister Teresa. When I remember the great work he did in saving them, they were far from the Lord, both of them, in their lives, and the Lord saved both of them. And it was only by his grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit through faith in Christ that that happened. And I remember that, and then like a great piercing light, as it were, came within me. I was overwhelmed, really, on that train going to Fidenza. And it was at that point I just burst out in tears. I just would not stop crying. And the people who I was accompanied with, Kevin, the Irishman, the person I was with at the time, I was in an ungodly relationship. I wasn't a Christian, remember. And I was with these senior people, the 60th man's birthday party, and his wife. And I was with all of them, and I burst out in tears, and they were just looking at me. They didn't understand what was going on. When the train stopped, I went to the bathroom at the platform on the station in Fidenza, and there I locked myself in the bathroom toilet, and I got on my knees, and I prayed for the Lord to save me. I know it was by grace alone. It must have been by grace alone. I know there was nothing in me. He revealed to me my great negligence, the way I had lived my life. For days on end, I felt a great void and emptiness. I knew I was rebelling from God. I knew I was kicking against the pricks of conscience. And on that platform station, I locked myself in that bathroom toilet. I got on my knees. As filthy and disgusting as that is, I got on my knees and I prayed to the Lord God to save me and to keep me. And he did. He did. I cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard my voice and delivered me out of all my troubles. And you know, remarkably, when I got up from that bathroom, that toilet in that bathroom in Fidenza train station, I opened the door and I looked into the mirror, and it was like looking at a different person. Now, I'm not a charismatic Christian, and I don't. This is not mystical talk, but it was like looking at a different person. There wasn't anything special that happened to me, but I looked at myself as someone who was different. There was something different when I looked in the mirror that happened to me. For days on end, it almost felt like there was a great power over me, and I know that was the Lord God working in my heart and in my life, and a great joy and a relief that I was His. And of course, on traveling home, I travelling home, still in this ungodly relationship, but I would not, from that moment onwards, I would not carry on in the way that I was carrying on, in that respect, if you know what I mean. But on the way home, when stopping off at the service stations on the way home back to England, I saw people walking around, I saw them not as people anymore. And what I mean by that is I saw them as souls. God had opened up my spiritual eyes to the truth by his power. I believed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believed that the Lord Jesus was real. And I was in big trouble. I've been in big trouble for a long time. And he showed me my sin. And he quickened me, as it says in Ephesians 2. Herein have you been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. I was dead. I was dead as a dodo. And the Lord quickened me and made me alive to spiritual truths. And he showed me Christ. And yes, there are mysteries in these things, like there are mysteries in everything. And everyone is saved in different... There's different testimonies. People are saved in different ways. But I just really want to emphasize, this is his work. He saved me by his sovereign grace. I did not deserve to be saved. I was far from the Lord in my life. I was living away from God in my life. The things I was into and things I did... I am still deeply ashamed of. Now, I just want to tell you a little bit about what happened afterwards and up to this point now in my life. And so, like I said before, the Lord not only saved me by his sovereign grace, he also has sustained me. And the lifestyle I lived, there were consequences in my lifestyle. I was into lots of bad things, but thankfully, when the Lord saved me, quite providentially, when I got back home, my brother Jason was actually staying where I was staying from London, and he straight away took me to the scriptures, took me to Ephesians 2, and I read the scriptures, and we prayed together. And it was such a blessed time. I knew that I was saved by grace. I knew that it was God's work in my heart. And the Lord had brought Jason providentially into my life right then to help me as a young Christian, to guide me, as it were, in the ways of God's righteousness. Thankfully, there was one Bible-believing church that I knew of, that Jason knew of, that was in the area, and not long after I started to attend that church. Now, of course, I was still in that ungodly relationship, but yet I had cut off any things that would happen. Deep down, really, I wanted to cut off. I wanted to get out of that relationship as soon as possible because I knew that it was wrong. However, I was the. When I started to go to church, this other person started to go to church with me. I'm not going to mention any names. For some time, that person promised that they would also seek the Lord. And that person, not too long after, made a profession of faith. And with many tears, made a profession of faith from the pulpit. And really, I was then encouraged to marry that person. Now, deep down in my heart, although I've seen the profession, although I was encouraged by leaders and by other people alike, and I don't blame those people, I own my sin, but deep down I really knew that that person was not the Lord's. But the peer pressure got to me. And I felt this overwhelming urge to do that which was right. I felt other people knew if this person was the Lord's, they were the Lord's. And so I besought the Lord earnestly for quite some time if that was the right thing to do. And eventually I did marry, really knowing in my heart that that person was not the Lord's. And for several years, it was a struggle. But the Lord sustained me and blessed me. There were times of great difficulty in my life. Of course, I wanted to go one way. I wanted to be used of the Lord and live for the Lord. I wanted to keep His day holy. The Lord had instilled that new principle in my life, but the other person did not want to. And as the days and the weeks and the months went past, of course, so did the troubles happen. Now the Lord sustained me through all that, and the Lord mightily blessed me through those things. And although I underwent many, many difficulties, of which I won't share live, I underwent many, many, many difficulties, both physical and mental, severe trials. The Lord saw me through that, 3-4 years, 4 years, I think, in total. And after that period, the person that I was married to, I earnestly did pray that that person would be saved, but she left. She could not stand the new person that I'd become. She liked the old Lee. She fell in love with the old Lee, the party-loving Lee, and that person was dead. And she was trying to get that person back, and that person was dead a long time ago. And I was a changed person. You know, many of my friends, when I testified to them as well, they would call me up, and some of them drunk sometimes, saying, come out with us. And I said, you have not listened to me, what I've said to you. And what has happened to me is real, and it's lasting. And I just want to reiterate that when God saves, by His power and by His sovereign grace, He does sustain. And listen, I'm not a perfect Christian. After that event happened, I backslid in a bad way for a sustained period of time. My life, for probably a good 9 months or so, maybe less, resembled that more of a worldling. Some of the old things started to come back in my life, and things which I'm deeply ashamed of. And that really hit me for six when that happened, because I really thought the Lord was going to save that person, and the Lord, of course, that person just got more hostile towards me and towards the things of the Lord. But the Lord never did. It was not part of His sovereign will, and I've left that with the Lord. Now, the Lord is no man's debtor. You know, when I became a Christian, I just wanted to serve the Lord and live for Him. And one of the things really which I felt that I needed was someone that loved the Lord, a godly wife. And you know, I backslid, like I said, for several months. I'm not going to go into detail about those things. It wouldn't be right for me to. But when the Lord graciously brought me back, I remember crying unto the Lord one evening in my desperateness, in my backsliding state, I cried unto the Lord. I had recently heard some excellent sermons and read some material in the Lord healing me from my backsliding and finding a way of escape for me. And you know, not long after that, the Lord quite amazingly brought a godly lady into my life. I know several other people, my mother, and several other people were praying earnestly for the Lord to bring me a wife who loved Him, who truly loved Him. And you know, you've got to be careful for what you pray for, because that the Lord did bring me a wife, a jewel, who I can say I'm happily married to this day. I had to go to pretty much the other corner of the world to find her by God's grace, but that prayer came true, and I married my wife Emily Pallister, and she came with seven wonderful children, which I love dearly. She had gone through similar things. She had married a man who said he was a Christian, and yet he was an abusive wolf in sheep's clothes, and she had experienced the same thing. And the Lord had answered not only my prayer but her prayer in joining us together. Now we have eight children, and the Lord has mightily blessed us by his grace and has sustained us. And so I just want to reiterate to you today who are tuning in, the Lord can save you, dear friends, by the power of his grace. It doesn't matter how far you are from the Lord, what you've done in your life, he can save you and he will sustain you. If you're backsliding as a Christian, I did for many months, cry unto the Lord. He will forgive you if you mean it. He will save you by his grace, and he will sustain you. He will heal your backsliding. This is not about me or about my wife or about my children. This is about the Lord Jesus, about his saving power. The gospel is real. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is real. He lives, and he is interceding for me and my wife and my children right now. And he is interceding for you. He loves you, friends. If you will come and you repent of your sins and know of him, you will know of his love in your life, his saving love, his goodness and his mercy. And I do pray that if there's one that's watching this message, and deep down, if you're not his, there's an emptiness inside, there's a void inside, I pray and beseech you by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that you repent and turn from your sin and know of his saving grace in your life. And taste and see that the Lord is good. He will save you, and he will sustain you and keep you and help you in this life and into the next, that his name may be lifted up and glorified. Thank you for listening to my testimony, and I pray that you will, if you're a Christian, you will also share your testimony to other people, because it's not about us, it's all about Christ.